So pleased to welcome Quincy Ward 4 City Councilor Brian Palmucci to chat with us remotely as the way of this new pandemic communications era, to see what's going on in the Ward 4 section of the city, and also to, personally, Brian, how is the crisis impacting you? How are you dealing so far?
It's the same as everyone else. It's been an adjustment, but rolling with the punches.
Trust you and your family are healthy. I'm sure it's quite chaotic now with kids at home and work to do.
It is, between all the Zoom school and Zoom city council meetings and Zoom work. It's been quite an experience, to say the least.
Yeah. What are you hearing throughout your ward, Ward 4 section of city? How are people coping? What are some of the concerns? What are some good things that are happening?
Well, I think anytime you have a situation like this, really, that one of the silver linings is, we're in a national pandemic, and obviously there are thousands of people who were sick and dozens who have passed away in Massachusetts already, with a significant number of those Massachusetts deaths coming from Quincy. But there is a silver lining to all of this, in that I think it, in a way, brings neighbors closer together. You see your neighbors more often outside, whether it's walking around, working in the yard. You normally wouldn't see folks as much as you see them now. So my hope is that this is an opportunity that we can use to strengthen our community in our bonds with those around us. I've gotten calls from folks who are checking in on senior neighbors, senior citizens who are neighbors who live alone, and they're calling them and checking in on them once a day. And so I think really it's again, one of the silver linings is that it brings out the humanity in people, and something that's perhaps lost in the everyday hustle and bustle of normal life. And when things slow down a little bit, it's an opportunity for people to show their good nature. And I think that's really coming through in the city of Quincy these days.
Any specific needs, would you say, in your section? I know the Southwest Community Center is functioning with a food pantry, and I know they use donations and volunteers there. Anything that you hear in that end?
Yeah, I think the food pantries are seeing an unprecedented need. They were already pretty busy before this started, but with so many folks out of work, from the hospitality industry to everything else, that's the trickle down effect that this has had. The longer it continues, the more folks who are going to be in need for such services. So I think anything we can do to, whether it's donate money, donate time, or pass around, via social media or email, pass around the pleas in the ways in which folks can get involved, to friends. I think all of that helps. But yeah, certainly there is a great need among the food pantries throughout the community. We operate three or four food pantries throughout the community. There's one in Southwest Quincy, there's the Interfaith, and I know there's one in Germantown, and they all need help in one way or another.
Sure. How would you say the administration is dealing with the crisis so far, and what would you like to see kind of happen in the future?
Well, I think, I've said this at the last couple of council meetings. I think we are very lucky to have Mayor Koch during this time of crisis. He is one of the, on a personal level, in dealing with him, and this is perhaps the third or fourth crisis that we faced as a city that I've had to deal with him on. It goes all the way back to my first couple of months in office, when we had devastating floods in Quincy in March of 2010, to the winter of tremendous amounts of snow, record-breaking snow, to the after effects of the hurricane and the storm surges across the seawalls and the eastern part of our city. And now this, I just think he has really shown himself to be unflappable in times of crisis. I think we are lucky to have somebody who has been at the helm for 12 years. You look around other communities, and you have mayors who, the poor mayor of Braintree, he's been on the job for a couple of months, and he's facing something like this, an unprecedented crisis where, anybody who's on the job for the first couple of months, I think you're still, and he's been in government for a long time. He's a very talented individual, but you're still learning how to operate the levers of government, and what you can do and what you can accomplish using your seat. So we're just incredibly lucky, I think, to have somebody who's who has the experience that Tom Koch has. And I don't have a single criticism of the administration. And listen, I like to criticize the administration. I call balls and strikes. You know, if they're doing something I don't like, I point it out. And if they're doing something I like, I point it out. So I don't have a single criticism of the administration. I think they've been handling this incredibly well. The amount of information that's flowing to city councilors, to the public, I think has been tremendous. They've been very transparent. The some of the actions that we're taking, I think, go far and above what other communities are doing. The one I point to is the housing, the emergency housing fund that we've put together. We have $1 million where we'll folks who are negatively impacted financially as a result of this pandemic can apply to either using the QCAP website, qcap.org, or the Quincy Chamber. .com, which is the Chamber of Commerce. They can apply there, fill out an application, and the city will cover their rent payments. I don't know of any other municipality doing that. And as I said at the last council meeting, that is a direct result of some of the economic development that's been happening in the city over the past, I don't know, feels like a lot longer, but probably the last 4 or 5 years, developers pay into a fund called the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. We're able to tap into that to take $1 million out for emergency housing purposes for covering people's rents. So that's a direct result of development that residents can access at this point. And the city council, we've also approved the mayor's request for additional funding, reusing some of the excess monies that we had left over from last year. We're using that to go towards funding any efforts that are needed during the pandemic. I know we've given some funding to the food pantries to make sure that they can remain operable. And we have that available for doing some other things. And we're also too, you know, I don't think people know the amount of effort that goes into something like this behind the scenes from the government standpoint. Ruth Jones, who is the director of the health department, she and her team are doing a fantastic job, you know, helping care for people in the city, answering their questions. You can call and you get our chief nurse on the phone. She'll talk to you and she'll walk you through things. And they're distributing thermometers to people who don't have them, you know, so they can check their temperature, because obviously that's one of the big symptoms of COVID-19 is if you're running a high fever for a significant period of time. So we're just doing, we also have a Quincy police detective who has been dispatched to the public health office, and we're trying to source all of the infections. So again, I think we are going above and beyond, you know, finding out, having a detective try and find out who you've come in contact with and where perhaps the individual has acquired the virus goes a long way towards figuring out how to prevent the spread of the virus, right? I know we have some of the infections that we have in the city come from people associated with the healthcare industry. Some of them, a good chunk of them came from that Biogen meeting, which was, kind of a PG. Gosh only knows what was happening in that meeting. Is everyone sharing the same, you know, water bottle or something? But everybody who was in that meeting seems to have unfortunately come down with COVID. So we've had a couple of several infections that stemmed from the Biogen, whether or not the person was at the Biogen or they're a family member or a friend of someone who's at the Biogen meeting who've been infected. But as of last night, I think we're up to 68 recoveries. So we're heading in the right direction. It's a trying time for everyone. I know, I've felt the pinch personally as well. I run a small business here in the city of Quincy, 2 employees, and it's a law practice and the courts are shut down. There's no work to do. My business has essentially been shut down since the governor shut things down. And, you know, it looks like there's no end in sight, but you know, these are the things we have to do to get through this. And I trust as a community, we will.
I know that the council is looking for some information from the administration about budgetary thought process and kind of a financial forecast, given what will be, lower revenues, based on this crisis. What are your concerns about financing the city going forward?
Concerns is that we're not going to have the financing going forward to maintain a level of service that the residents of Quincy have become accustomed to and they deserve. Obviously, I think development in the city is down, building permits are down. You know, you don't have folks remodeling their house, right? Which is typical, something that would be happening in the spring. Okay, we're going to add an addition or remodel the basement. The city generates a lot of money from the permitting fees that come from that, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. We also generate a significant portion of money from the hotel motel tax, from the meals tax. That money is obviously not coming in. So we are going to be, much like everybody else who's financially impacted by this, we're going to feel the pinch from the municipality standpoint. And I think what the council is trying to do at this moment is look a little bit further. Because we're in the second week of April. We usually pass a budget by the end of June. So it's not that far away. I mean, right. 2.5 months. The administration is going to have to come up with a budget over the next, 30 days that they're going to present to the council. We're just trying to get an idea of what we're in for. It does not look like, and I do not believe we will have to do any mid budget cuts to this fiscal year. I think the revenues, we're so far along in this fiscal year, which ends in July 1st, that it won't have a negative impact on us this year. It's just about what's going to happen next year. The last thing anyone wants to do from the council, and I trust the mayor's office as well, is have to lay off workers or reduce services, especially I think we'll still be dealing with the effects of this pandemic, and cutting government services is very difficult. So, and also, I mean, we won't be looking to hit people with an increased tax bill when so many folks are out of work. So there are a lot of fiscal concerns that come into play. And this is really just the council's attempt to get an early indication, perhaps earlier than we ever have before, as to how those are going to fit in together and how we could perhaps piece together a budget that takes into account all of these considerations so that we're just doing the best we can for folks.
Is there, Mayor calls it free cash, surplus cash. Is there a pool of money that can be tapped into in the event, the emergency arises?
Yeah, the worst naming of anything in the history of government is calling something free cash. This is I always try to have it explained, but when we do budget stuff, but the Department of Revenue certifies the city's money at the end of the year. So free cash is excess money that was collected. If you have a year where there's a lot of people remodeling your basement, or there's a lot of development going on in the city, and permit fees increase significantly, the money that people pay in, that's money that we did not expect to receive in a fiscal year. So, we spend the money that we expected to spend for the fiscal year, and then at the end of the fiscal year, we have excess money left over. The DOR calls it free cash. Again, worst name ever, because people are like, that's my money. That's not free. Cost me something. But they call it free cash, and we get that number certified, and then we can spend it. Right. Okay. So usually what we do is we spend it on one-time items, like we need a new fire truck. And last year we bought some new, thankfully, we bought some new turnout gear and oxygen systems. I don't know what the specific name for them are, but ventilation systems for the fire department, which thankfully they're putting into place now, right? Or using, getting good use out of them now. Things like that. We also use that money to buy down the following year's tax rate. So we take that money and say, okay, we already collected this, so let's use this to take away from the amount that we're going to have to collect from residents. So there is a pool of money that has been certified as free cash. It's usually a couple of $1 million. That's what we tapped into right off the bat at the first council meeting after the pandemic sprung upon us, to help boost the food pantries and to help boost some other social service entities that are playing an important role in this pandemic. So we'll be looking to use the free cash that exists to help offset any cuts that we're going to have to make to the budget, any trimming of the budget that we'll have to make to try and keep staff on, and again, keep the tax bills as low as we possibly can while still delivering the necessary services and the level of and quality of services that Quincy residents have come to expect.
Yeah, I can't help but think, you know, if your proposal for residential tax exemption had already passed, how much benefit that would be to people right now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, it's, you look at some of this stuff, I think we're in a place where, you know, we've had a lot of economic success in the city. We've had a lot of development, listen, development isn't a bad thing. What has to happen with development is the residents have to see a benefit, right? And I think for too long, residents haven't seen enough of a benefit for them to be supportive of the development. All they see is the excess traffic, the excess burden on the schools and services. And they say, hey, I've lived here my whole life. Now you have these people moving into luxury apartments. How does that benefit me in any way? It's just a pain in my butt. And I don't disagree with them, right? I sit in traffic too, and I go through all the same things they go through. And they say, well, all this building in the city of Quincy, how come my taxes still go up every year? So really what that residential tax exemption was for, and I want to explore it to make sure that we can do it in a fiscally sound way. Mm-hmm. But the idea behind it is that folks who own their homes, live and own their homes in Quincy, get a rebate. Right. So if you're a renter, you don't get the rebate. If you're a landlord who owns a house that you rent out, you don't get the rebate. But it's just a way in which to keep residents of Quincy in their homes, less impacted by increase in taxes. We would lower their taxes, and I think that that's important, especially for a lot of seniors. Seniors are on fixed income. The adjustments to Social Security that folks get, it has not even held up with inflation, right? The cost of milk goes up, the cost of eggs goes up, and their Social Security payments stay the same. And then their taxes go up. And that's when they call us and they say, Brian, I raised my entire family here. I'm a widow and I don't want to leave. This is my home. I want to die in this house. This is, you know, this is where I've laid my claim and I'm going to see it through the end. But I'm getting squeezed out. I'm getting forced out. What do I do? And we have a number of programs for seniors. Mm-hmm. But I think we can do more, and I hope we can do more. And that's why I put that into place. And that to couple with that is somebody's got to pay that difference in taxes, right? So somebody's got to pay if every Quincy resident who lives and owns and lives in their home, if they get $800 off their tax bill, well, where does that shift go to?
Right.
And my plan for that was we take the largest apartment buildings in the city of Quincy. I forget what the number is. But anything with over like 50 units, right? And there's I think around 20 buildings, 15 buildings, something like that, that have that. And we tax them as we tax businesses, every other business, right? Curry Hardware or, you know, the Common Market restaurant on their property that they own, they pay a commercial rate, not a residential rate. The commercial rate is higher than the residential rate. So if we take those apartment buildings, which are not, they're a business, right? They're a commercial enterprise. They just happen to be the service that they offer instead of a nice chicken dish or, seeds to plant your lawn and propane tanks. They offer housing, right? So that's their business. One, for example, is Avalon. Avalon owns, they did the High Point 2 project up on Quarry Street, all those buildings. They're nice buildings, right? They're doing well. They're very full. They're traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They shouldn't get the residential tax rate. They should be paying a commercial tax rate on their property taxes. And if we did that, if we just taxed the largest apartment buildings in the city at the commercial rate instead of the residential rate, we could fully fund that residential property tax discount for owner-occupiers. Residents of the city of Quincy. And I think that's a good mix, right? Because that's residents benefiting from the development that happens in the city. That's them getting something for it. And I think when you do that, people are more open to development and they feel as though they're getting something for it, which they should be.
Are you concerned? I'm thinking if this crisis would have an impact on larger city projects like the new public safety complex, perhaps, or maybe the new Squantum Elementary School, you know, things like that going forward.
Well, one of the things that's different about Quincy is the mayor has not shut down construction work.
Right.
So construction work is continuing. In the city of Boston, Mayor Walsh shut down any construction work. We haven't done that. And I think that's a double-edged sword there, right? Because you're allowing people to continue to work, you're allowing development and improvements to our schools to move forward. so that we're not, you know, shut down for 3-6 months, however long this happens. And you're also allowing those people who do the work to collect paychecks. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is some of those people who are collecting paychecks would rather be home with their families and not exposed to, you know, the elements of being out in the world and the COVID-19. Right. So it's a little bit of both, right? It's a little double-edged sword. The city of Boston, they shut everything down. City of Quincy has not. So I think what we're looking at in terms of public projects is we will continue them. It'll probably be at a slower pace.
Okay.
You know, I think of the Kincaid Park project, which right. is so proud of that, that effort down there. And it looks amazing. If you drive yeah. by, you can peek in and you see it. It's almost done. I believe we were planning on a late spring opening of that. I think it'll probably be pushed back. Well, it'll definitely be pushed back, whether it's right. finished or not.
Right.
I'm not going to have a big celebration with the community all getting together in one little area, but I think the finished product will be pushed back, right? Because there's less folks working, folks at, you know, construction industry like that. They've been getting sick as well. So yeah. I think everything will take a little bit longer, but I think everything is on. I believe everything is on track.
Okay. And as far as commercial development, are you concerned that that may start to slow down in the city or come to a halt?
It has essentially come to a halt. So yeah. new permits have. I've had a couple of phone calls or several phone calls from folks who do a lot of business in the city development and whatnot. And they're all sort of holding back right now because the zoning board and the planning boards aren't meeting. There was... Right. The governor signed special legislation earlier this week saying that the time standards within which a planning board or a zoning board has to make a decision on a permit essentially have gone away. They're just mm-hmm. forget about them during the COVID crisis. Usually it's they have to have a public hearing within 45 days and they have to render a decision within so many days of opening the public hearing. And so
right.
that's how things in the normal everyday pre-COVID-19 business practices and way of life is these developmental projects, these permitting projects they'd follow a path that, mm-hmm. that led them forward, right? With community involvement, all that, community meetings usually to start the process. That's all kind of gone. I'm obviously not hosting a community meeting. I had to cancel one that I had planned a month before, and it was right at the beginning of this, and I said, yeah, just cancel it. So we're not doing community meetings.
Right.
And for myself, I can't speak for other ward counselors, but I'm not okay with a project going forward to the zoning board or the planning board before the neighbors have a chance to see what it is, to weigh in and work with the developers to see if they can't help make it a better project for the neighborhood. So that's really slowed things down. So I do think new starts of projects will dip significantly. And again, that speaks to the permitting yeah. revenue that'll drop because new projects aren't really starting. I know developers are still out there looking for land. They're looking for projects that they can do, but they're really just keeping it on the back burner for when all this dies down. The projects that are ongoing, I think will continue to go. I think of the Galvin's projects, the building a commercial office building on Willard Street, Bates Ave. There's a residential project going on at the corner of Bates and Willard. Those projects are moving forward. They were already permitted. The construction, they're in the ground on those and they're constructing. I think those will move forward, but you won't see a lot of new starts.
Right.
Which some residents I think will be happy with, right? The residents who don't feel like they're getting the benefit of development, they'll say, good, let's, time out. So.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share, Brian, with the city right now?
No, I mean, I guess I'd just like to send out a message that, every cloud has a silver lining and, as dark and ominous as this cloud is, it's hanging over really the world right now in our city of Quincy. Let's find the silver lining of it. Let's use it an opportunity to get closer to our neighbors. And, I really think that this is a situation where coming out of it, our lives can all be better, right? Our bonds with neighbors and friends and family is strengthened. I think personally in my life, anytime I've had a crisis of any sort in my life, you can always fall back on family and friends, as a source of strength for you to help persevere and move through that personal crisis. And I think as a community, we can do the same. The city council and the mayor are working together hand in hand. You see, there's been no bickering. There's been no fighting amongst the city leadership. Everyone's working together. Everyone's coming together. The fire department, the police department, the public health department, DPW, inspectional services, everyone's coming together. And I see that every day too from neighbors. I talk to a lot of folks because, you know, the job of a ward counselor doesn't stop. My cell phone's still on, my email, I'm still taking calls. And usually they start with, I know we're going through a lot right now, but can you connect on this? And that's fine. I mean, I'm not out in the front lines. I'm sitting in the safety of my own home. And I thank the first responders who were out there and the folks who were putting really their lives on the line for this. That's not me. I'm not doing that. So I don't want to say, oh, well, I answer the phone and help people whose trash didn't get picked up. Like, you know, I deserve a pat on the back. I'm just doing my job the best I can. And so I still get those calls. And when I get those calls, I talk to folks and they're, you know, everyone's in the same boat. They're like, yes, this isn't great, but we'll get through it. And they tell me stories of, you know, seeing more of their neighbors out, you know, they're out in the yard, you know, doing some, you know, some gardening or something. And they see their neighbors walking by and they say hello. And, you know, you're meeting more of your neighbors. You're getting to know them a little bit better at a 6-foot distance. Mm-hmm. You're getting closer, right? So you're standing further away, but getting closer. So I think, that's my kind of, my last message to the city is let's use this as an opportunity to grow and become a stronger city as a result of it. We will get through on the other side, and I hope when we do, we'll be a stronger city for it.
Great. And to that end, could I ask you just to give out your contact information for folks, Brian?
No. Yeah, I just can. So my email address, you can use my personal email address because the city one is, just use my personal one.
Okay.
It's my first initial B, my last name, Palmucci. So bpalmucci@yahoo.com. And then my cell phone number is 617-834-3945. Again, 617-834-3945. And anyone call my cell phone, I encourage you to.
Great. Really appreciate your time. And please reach out to us here at QATV if we can be of any assistance to get information out. We'd be happy to do so.
Well, you guys have been doing a great job in the, I like the COVID challenge, the quarantine challenge. Me and my kids have been talking about a video. We've had a couple of missed videos that, you know, wouldn't send in, but they might be better for America's Funniest Home Videos, but we're working on it. So thank you to the job you guys are doing. Keep it up.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye, Joe.
Bye-bye.